Hello again, you're listening to the News at 1 on Radio 1. Well, first to that simmering row between the government and the Secondary Teachers Union, the ASTI. Parents are becoming increasingly worried about how the dispute will eventually cause disruption. Today, Kay O'Brien, President of the Association of Principals and Deputy Principals, warned that with some parent-teacher meetings being cancelled, problems were, as she put it, beginning to mount. And she appealed to Education Minister Rory Quinn to meet the ASTI to try to resolve the issue. A little earlier, I spoke to Rory Quinn. I asked him about the budget cuts and the financial confusion at the HSE, but first, was he minded to meet the leaders of the ASTI?
Of course I would be minded, but the basis on which we can start to talk has to be understood. I'm not in dispute with the teachers. They are in dispute with the public sector pay that was negotiated with under the Haddington Road Agreement, led by my colleague Brendan Howland. The three other teachers' unions, at third level and at primary as well as in secondary, have all agreed to the Haddington Road Agreement and did so on the basis that while they didn't particularly like it, on balance they were better off financially with those provisions than what the ASTI have ended up with by their democratic and perfectly legitimate and decision that they made themselves. Now, I'm more than happy to explore possibilities in the space of education, but I can't explore any changes in the actual terms of the agreement itself.
But you would be prepared to meet them? Essentially, you're saying, yes, you'll sit down with them once the agenda is clearly understood.
Well, look, I don't want any false pretenses to be taken by anybody that a meeting with myself or people on my behalf would herald out the prospect of some changes in the agreement. That's not on my space. I'm very concerned that parents who are hard-pressed in many cases and who now have to take time out of their work or take leave in order to meet with teachers of either junior certificate students or leaving certificate students. I mean, parents are intensely involved in the education of their children. That's the norm for most of us. And it's a great attribute that this country has. It's a cultural attribute that goes back generations. Any barrier or any impediment to maintaining and consolidating that is negative. And therefore, I would like to see that removed, if it can.
Parents are becoming anxious. We're seeing, as Kay O'Brien and others have pointed out, the problems are coming down the line. Meetings which may be held are being postponed, and these are beginning to mount up on the school's calendar. There will be a real issue, and soon. So where does the solution in this lie? Is it about, simply in your view, capitulation by the ASTI?
No, nobody wants that. I want to see progress in the field of education. The reality is that we're going into a week now, starting on Monday, which will culminate with the bank holiday weekend and the midterm break. Probably preparations for talks might be explored with a view to meeting sometime after the midterm break. I don't think realistically that anything this side of that timetable is on. But I don't think the space and the time should be left idle. I would be open to have explorations by officials on my side with the education unions, specifically the ASTI, to see what kind of things would they like to talk about. They've issued an invitation to come and talk to them. I've made it very clear, and I make it very clear to your listeners and to all the taxpayers, that I can talk to them about education matters. I can talk to them about the terms and conditions of the Haddington Road Agreement, which incidentally would leave the vast majority of their members better off than what they now find themselves in.
Now, presumably, given what you've said, you won't be acting in relation to the payments to ASTI members for supervision and substitution, those who have rejected Haddington Road, even though those payments are, as Brendan Howland says, unsustainable, and you say over time, but clearly no action on that in the short term.
Look, I'd like to explore the grounds for a settlement that will work. There is space and time on our side to address that particular issue. I'm really more concerned with finding educational paths back to getting the school system up and fully running.
A couple of quick questions about the budget, Minister. Generally seen as a good one for you, for your department, you were under pressure to find 100 million. In the end, ended up being about half that. Good for you, but was it good for the Labour Party, do you think?
I think the budget overall has been very good for the Labour Party. One of the great things that has been understood about Joan Burton's success is that she was able to, in effect, save 150 million because unemployment is now coming down. It's come down dramatically from where it was, and all the indications would suggest that it will continue. one swallow doesn't make a summer, and therefore we have to be cautious and not lose our concentration. But had we been at the levels of unemployment that confronted us when we went into government two and a half years ago, Joan Burton would have had to find another 150 million euro. Now, when you look at the difficulties around the margins of the budget and problems that are being caused, because you can't take 2.5 billion out of the economy and not take money from some people in some ways, that just is impossible. And the pressures on the health budget and on social welfare were enormous because of simply the biggest spenders.
Your own youth wing, Labour Youth, have condemned the cuts in social welfare for young people, saying that they were regressive and counterproductive.
Well, I would expect nothing less from Labour Youth than to be as strong and as vocal as they are. They are the youth section of our party. We are a party that is in coalition with another party. We have a different set of values, a different traditions, and we've had to make compromises.
You don't agree, though, do you, that those particular cuts, specifically those cuts on young people and particularly those under 25 who now just get 100 euros a week, that's regressive and counterproductive?
No, we don't want any 18-year-old to be on the dole. And we certainly don't want them to be on a dole where there's money that takes away the incentive for them to get into study, into work experience, or into some kind of training. An 18-year-old, the last place where they should be is on the dole. And that dole should not be couched in such a way that they feel that they can stay on it. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case, and I know that unemployment is particularly high for youth here in Ireland, which is why the youth guarantee that Eimear Costello has negotiated at European level will help to alleviate it. But we didn't abolish the allocation of monies for young people in 18 going on to the dole. We reduced it. And if they go into education, back to education allowance or a whole lot of other types of measures, their money enhancement in certain cases is increased. We want to move to a society where an attitude is that our safety net is literally that. It's not a permanent place of rest.
What's going on in the Department of Health? Is it a mess?
I would offer a view, and it's not my responsibility, but the decision by Micheál Martin and Mary Harney to establish the HSE and then to take the legal responsibility of accounting officer away from the Secretary of the Department of Health and transfer it to another body, in retrospect, seems to have been a disastrous decision.
But on the budget and on managing of the budget, do you still have full faith in James Riley to do that job?
I think he has probably the most difficult job in Cabinet. I think he's doing it as best as anybody possibly could. Certainly the legacy from his immediate predecessors is nothing to go on. Does he need help and understanding? Of course he does, and that's why he has my full confidence.
When we see officials coming in from the Department of the Taoiseach and the Department of Reform from Brendan Howland's department, it would look like a vote of no confidence to some degree.
Well, I was there when that discussion took place, and having gone over some of this ground in a much more structured department, which is education, with more predictability in it, there were genuine differences of opinion as to the assessment of what the level of savings would be within the health sector from the Haddington Road Agreement. What has been agreed, I think, is very common sense. The Secretaries General of the Department of the Taoiseach, Public Expenditure, and the Department of Health will jointly agree together what the real and final savings are, so that there's no ambiguity. And we're doing this at the start of a budgetary year, not at the end of it.
Because health on its own can't be trusted for one reason or another to come up with a credible figure.
I think they can be trusted, but there are too many conflicting voices. And part of that is the division of responsibility, which hasn't finally been resolved. We're in the course of dealing with how the HSE is to be properly integrated into the Department of Health and how the Department of Health in this republic will assert itself where the Secretary General is the accounting officer.